Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 37 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Lori Likens.
Kentucky cannot reach its full potential if all of our people don't feel supported to be themselves.
Kentucky's governor attended the annual LGBTQ rights rally at the Capitol.
A Senate panel voted to pass an amended version of Marcy's Law.
Lawmakers are considering a bill requiring a photo ID to vote.
There could be new restrictions on the governor's pardoning power.
Kentucky has a record number of registered voters.
In sports, Rowan County's boys basketball team plays their last regular season game tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Cloudy skies tonight with a low around 17 degrees. We'll have a look at your region's extended forecast after this news.
Governor Andy Beshear made history yesterday, becoming the first sitting governor to attend an annual LGBTQ rights rally in the Capitol. Earning a standing ovation from the audience, Beshear took to the podium to add his voice to the call for a statewide fairness law and a ban on conversion therapy.
Kentucky cannot reach its full potential if all of our people don't feel supported to be themselves and to reach out and stop discrimination. Yes. Discrimination against our LGBTQ brothers and sisters is absolutely unacceptable in this Commonwealth.
The appearance marked a dramatic shift, not only from former Republican Governor Matt Bevin's posture toward gay rights issues, but from Beshear's father's administration, which defended the state's same-sex marriage ban in court in 2014. The elder Beshear later revealed in his book, People Over Politics, that he supported same-sex marriage but wanted the case to get a final resolution. A handful of Republicans have become more vocal in their support of LGBTQ issues this session, including Lexington Senator Alice Forgy Kerr making a passionate case for barring conversion therapy on the chamber floor.
LGBTQ plus groups in West Virginia are fighting to pass the Fairness Act, a bill that ensures no person is fired, evicted, or denied public services because of their sexual orientation. Currently, about 40,000 LGBTQ plus workers age 16 or older live in West Virginia without legal protections against employment bias involving sexual orientation and gender identity. Andrew Schneider, Executive Director of Fairness West Virginia, says this is epically important in the state because West Virginia has the highest rate of transgender teenagers per capita in the United States.
Either transgender people, once they become adults, are leaving our state, or they're, you know, going back in the closet and disappearing from being counted because of their fear of discrimination.
Opponents of the bill say the act could have negative consequences for employees, people who rent or sell homes, or anyone who may be accused of being politically incorrect.
A Senate panel voted to advance a new version of Marcy's Law on Wednesday. The bill is a constitutional amendment to require victims of crime to be notified through the judicial process. The controversial bill passed the General Assembly and was signed into law 2 years ago, but it was overturned by the Supreme Court due to the way the question was phrased. Melissa Buchanan is a supporter of Marcy's Law. She says this is a very important to crime victims.
Until the four cases were transferred to Frankfort, our local newspaper man was my victim's advocate, because that's how I learned of court dates.
The bill includes a provision that would also require crime victim families to be notified in the event of a pardon being issued. It now goes to the full Senate floor for consideration.
The Kentucky House has passed legislation to limit out-of-pocket costs paid by many people relying on life-saving insulin. The bill cleared the House on a 92-0 vote Wednesday. It now goes to the Senate. The measure would limit out-of-pocket costs at $100 per prescription for a 30-day insulin supply. That cap would apply to people with commercial health insurance plans. Insulin is used to keep people's blood sugar at safe levels. The bill's supporters say that in the past 14 years, the price of insulin has surged by more than 550% when adjusted for inflation.
Kentucky lawmakers are considering a bill to require a photo ID to vote. Senate Bill 2 already passed in the Senate. After a lot of questions from lawmakers today, a House committee voted 11-7 to pass the bill. The bill was strongly supported by the Secretary of State, Michael Adams, who testified in favor of the bill. He says one of his promises during his campaign was to restore confidence in the voting process. Adams says people need a photo ID for many things, like opening a bank account or entering the state capitol. One of the main speakers for the opposition actually worked closely with Adams to craft the current bill. Professor Joshua Adams is a UK law professor, and while he doesn't oppose photo ID requirements completely, he is opposed to the current bill proposed. The opposition pointed to different states for reasons to change the current bill, but Adams says the current version is similar to Indiana's, which was affirmed by the Supreme Court. SB 2 now goes to the full House for consideration.
Kentucky lawmakers took the first step towards placing new restrictions on the governor's pardoning power. As WUKY's Josh James reports, a bipartisan-backed bill would create windows of time around gubernatorial elections when the governor could not pardon or commute sentences.
Arriving not long after a series of highly controversial pardons by then-outgoing Governor Matt Bevin last year, the bill would block any future governor from exercising the office's pardoning authority 30 days before a gubernatorial election or in the period between the election and inauguration.
We've got a constitutional problem in this state.
That's the message lead sponsor, Republican Senator Chris McDaniel, says lawmakers heard from constituents across the state following Bevin's pardons. Wednesday, they also heard from 16-year-old Chloe Randall, who decided to speak publicly about her sexual assault at age 12 and how it would feel if her attacker was released.
My entire life would be different. I'm not sure I would be able to be in a public place without feeling scared or frightened.
The panel also heard from a woman who benefited from a pardon. New language in a separate crime victims' rights bill would call for victims to be consulted prior to gubernatorial pardons. Both bills passed out of committee and head to the Senate. In Frankfort, I'm Josh James reporting.
A proposed constitutional amendment that restores voting rights to convicted felons has been approved by a Kentucky Senate committee. The amendment would grant felons the right to vote after they have completed their sentence, with the exception of those convicted of violent or sexual crimes. The American Civil Liberties Union opposes the bill, saying all felons should be granted the right to vote after serving their sentences, regardless of their crimes. The bill's sponsor, Senator Jimmy Higdon, says the amendment won't cover everything.
This constitutional amendment will restore voting rights. If you want your civil rights restored, you still have to apply to the governor for that. And restoration of civil rights would allow you to not only vote, but allow you to hold office and serve on a jury.
In December, Governor Andy Beshear restored voting rights to 140,000 ex-felons. The measure now goes to the full Senate for consideration.
Kentucky has broken a record for the total number of registered voters. KNN's Haley Hansen has the story.
Kentucky Secretary of State Michael Adams announced that over 3.4 million people registered to vote in Kentucky as of January 31st. Democrats represent 48% of that total, with about 1.7 million registered voters. Republicans account for 43%, or about 1.5 million registered voters. About 9% of voters are listed under other affiliations. The last day to register to vote in the May 19th primary is April 20th. I'm Haley Hansen.
We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop, a community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Louisville is the 160th city to pass 100% renewable energy resolution. The Louisville Metro Council has voted to commit to reaching 100% renewable energy for city operations within the next two decades. The resolution says the city will work to shift public transit and other operations to run on clean energy, such as electricity and solar power. Drew Foley of the Sierra Club says a handful of cities in the U.S. already are generating all or most of the energy used for city operations from clean and renewable energy sources.
Louisville was the 160th city in the United States that has made that commitment. So we're pretty late to the game, actually.
The Metro Council voted 15-4 in support of the resolution.
A group of students from Covington Catholic High School in Kentucky and their parents are suing major media companies and a New York physician for the way the group says the students were portrayed in a 2019 encounter with a Native American elder at the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C. Videos of the January 18, 2019 incident went viral after millions of people shared clips of Nathan Phillips beating a drum while face-to-face with Covington Catholic student Nicholas Sandman. After those videos were posted online, Sandman and other Covington Catholic students received threats and condemnation for what was widely perceived as disrespectful behavior towards Phillips. Longer clips of video soon emerged, prompting some people to change their perception of what occurred. The lawsuits filed Tuesday in U.S. District Court in Covington, Kentucky, named the Washington Post, NBC, and CNN as defendants. CNN correspondent Bakari Sellers is also named as a defendant. The lawsuits filed on Tuesday named 17 plaintiffs, including 10 parents representing 5 underage children.
Kentucky State Police are continuing the investigation into what killed a 13-year-old Knott County boy. Officials say the initial cause of death is being ruled as a result of an animal attack. According to WYMT, the boy was staying at a relative's house but was not new to the area. Officials say that while it is being ruled an animal attack, they still do not know what killed the boy. There's no way they can determine what the animal was. Officials are not releasing the boy's name while they wait to rule out a criminal act. Right now, however, it is not suspected to be anything other than a terrible accident.
Pikeville Medical Center unveiled a new type of life support machine Tuesday. The extracorporeal membrane oxygenation machine replaces the function of the heart and lungs and pumps blood from the patient's body into an artificial lung. Director of ICU Josh Darman tells WSAZ it treats a variety of conditions.
Oxygen or CO2, whatever it needs to do to make your body survive, it will function for your lungs or for your heart by taking that blood out and adding that to it or taking away whichever it needs and then putting it back.
When treating such cases, doctors say rest and fluids are the best medicine.
Lime Scooter Company's CEO Brad Boa is under fire from the public after a series of incidents in Lexington. Tim Friedman was hit and killed on Richmond Road after losing control and falling into traffic. And an unnamed rider was hit by a car while using a scooter with non-fatal injuries. In Lime's other markets, there have been reports of strained relationship with cities and customers due to similar scenarios. Boa says they want to learn from the mistakes and move forward.
We made a lot of mistakes and we learned from it. I think at the time made the best decision based on the information we have. But more importantly is what we learned from it. So we did make some mistakes and we learned from it. And that's one of the guiding principles in the company as well.
In January, Lime started a program to keep the streets safe. Riders can round up trips to the nearest dollar to donate to Safe Street advocacy groups, Bike Walk Kentucky.
A Mount Sterling woman who struggled with hearing since she was young has a newfound ability to hear the world around her. 26-year-old Ashley Duty was born with a rare genetic disorder that made even minor luxuries difficult and gradually became worse as she grew older. Duty's mother, Elsie Cole, spent the last 2 decades looking for a way to restore her daughter's hearing. She tells WKYT how she found the Miracle Ear Foundation and the new opportunity for her daughter.
So really, it's thanks to Facebook that we even found the place. Over the years, it's just declined. You kept hearing the TV go up louder and louder.
Here's your right ear. Here's your left ear. Welcome back. You can hear me now.
Thank you.
Duty's hearing specialist tells her that her care at the facility will come at no cost to her and that it will take some time to adjust to her new hearing aid. Duty was also told her new aid is a quick fix but more of a rehabilitation process. Taking a look at your region's weather forecast, tonight mostly cloudy with a low around 17. Friday, sunny with a high near 37. Friday night, clear with a low around 17. Saturday, sunny with a high near 50. Saturday night, clear with a low around 23. Sunday, sunny with a high near 54. Sunday night, rain likely, mostly cloudy with a low around 36. Monday, rain with a high near 50.
Taking a look at your region's temperatures, 41 degrees over in Ashland, 39 in Grayson. It's 38 degrees in Inez. Over in Winchester, it is 38 degrees. And here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University, it's 38 degrees. On our feature segment today, Morehead's own Rutabagers is celebrating its 20th year in business. WMKY's Michael Green has the story.
Famous for their sugar cookies, cakes, pies, and even chicken sandwiches, Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe has made a name for itself. Now in their 20th year, the business calls a farmhouse-like building home. Lena Root is the owner of Rutabaker's. She says most, if not all, of her baking and cooking skills were self-taught.
I stayed home with my kids when they were little, and when my youngest got into kindergarten, first grade, then I started out into the work field, okay? But during that time when I was home with them for 13 years, I taught myself how to bake and cook and do cakes and that kind of thing.
In the time before Rutabaker's opened, Lena worked a variety of jobs. While working as a pharmacy tech, she stumbled upon the idea of selling her baked goods.
When I was at the pharmacy, there was a whole big clinic going on. So I asked the office manager upstairs, I said, can I just bring stuff down, let people sample, you know, put it in the lounge up here and see if they want to buy anything for Thanksgiving. They did.
From Reuben sandwiches to triple grilled cheeses, their menu has evolved. Root says it took a lot of time to get to where they are now.
When we got started, we wholesaled with the Fuzzy Duck for about 3 years. Then that just got too much because our front door got busier, and we, you know, no longer did that. The sugar cookie got a life of its own, and we did a lot of those and just other things. And we tried to start putting, let's try some chicken salad, you know. So it was just a slow beginning, but it was good.
Recently, Taste of Home, a magazine and website dedicated to food, chose Rutabaker's as the best bakery in Kentucky.
And this has been going for 7 weeks. I don't think you should do it. And I'm like, do it anyway. We will be the black horse. Because, you know, votes had already been going in for 7 weeks. So we're black horse. We'll come from behind. We're going to win this thing. And it did.
With the success of the business comes the idea of expansion. Root says she and her colleagues have all talked about the idea.
You know, we've talked, you know, hey, joke around about things and stuff, just about different locations as far as a factory. I feel like we're getting factory mode, you know, in a little bitty Morehead, Kentucky.
With 20 years under her belt, Lena says she has no intention of slowing down. She wants to keep doing what they're good at while also expanding the menu in ways that would complement the other items.
Probably just expand on maybe creating new dishes, something, you know, people love what we have. We have people come eat the same thing every time. Just because, oh no, I know that's good, I'm going to stick with that. But, you know, trying to expand that menu some and to hopefully serve everyone in a timely fashion.
To see Rutabaker's menu, you can go to their website or visit them in person on 313 Flemingsburg Road in Morehead. For WMKY News, I'm Michael Green.
It's 448 and 38 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Lori Likens and Jonathan Burton, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio right here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Thank you so much for joining us on this lovely Thursday afternoon. Ty Martin has a look at sports right after this timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. The Wilson Bowling Lanes in the Laughlin Building are open to the public for birthday parties, youth groups, by-the-hour or per-game pricing. Cosmic Bowling features disco and black lights, open Tuesday through Saturday from 5 to 9 p.m. For more information and reservations, the phone number is 606-776-3457.
The 61st District No. 1 seed Viking boys are at home tonight against Mason County. For WMKY Sports, I'm Todd Martin. Brown is coming off a dominant win over Bath County Monday night. The Vikings head coach Sean Thacker is pleased with how his team always remains locked in.
We're excited about how we played tonight, locked up the number one seed. You know, now we'll focus on Menifee County is who will play in the district tournament and try to finish off a great regular season with Mason County at home on Thursday. I thought we were sharper tonight than we had been. So, yeah, our confidence should grow. We've been talking about being more focused, staying true to who we are and sharing the ball and ball movement and those things. You know, our kids did a great job of executing a lot of different plays tonight and got a lot of easy looks.
Mason County is 15-10 on the season, while the Vikings stand at 22-7. Tip-off in Moorhead tonight is set for 7:30. Taking a look at other boys' 16th region action tonight, still undefeated Ashland Blazer will host Rose Hill Christian at 6 p.m. East Carter travels to Boyd County. Lewis County hosts Bath. Raceland hosts Paintsville. And Menifee County hosts Lee County. All four of those games are set to begin at 7:30. In girls' 16th region action tonight, Menifee travels to Raceland for a 6 p.m. matchup. Ashland Blazer hosts East Carter. West Carter travels to Russell, and Greenup County hosts Mason County. Those three games are set to begin at 7:30. We'll have the scores from all of tonight's games tomorrow on Morning Edition. The Morehead State University basketball teams are back at home this evening. The Eagles will be taking on the Belmont Bruins in Johnson Arena. The women's team will be up first, and head coach Greg Todd says they'll need to put a big emphasis on their coverage to come out on top.
They're a very scrappy team. They have a young lady inside that plays extremely hard, and Treckler is her last name. She's a very, very tough young lady, and they play a lot like us in that they're very physical. They play hard. They had as good a perimeter shooting as they would probably like.
Tip-off for the women's game is set for 5 o'clock. The Morehead State men's basketball team will get their crack at the Bruins later this evening. The Eagles are looking for revenge after falling to Belmont earlier this season. This time, the Eagles have the home court advantage. Between that and some strategy adjustments, head coach Preston Spradlin says his guys won't be making it easy for the visiting Belmont.
Making sure that we're getting open and getting the catches we need to, creating the shots that are designed to be there. And obviously that helps with your shooting percentage going up, your assists going up, and then your ability to rebound your misses. And all of those things just allow you to set your defense. And so I've been pleased with our defense. We're number two defense in the OVC this year. It's just been on that offensive end, just kind of struggling to make some shots.
Tip-off for the men's team is set for 7 o'clock. Morehead State Athletics has announced that fans of the softball and baseball teams will be able to watch a majority of home games on ESPN+, as well as select games being audio broadcasted on MSUEagles.com. Now in its second full year as the exclusive service streaming Ohio Valley Conference events, ESPN Plus is $4.99 per month and can be viewed on mobile devices as well as many TV-ready devices. In addition, many of the two programs' road events will also be available on an ESPN platform, other video streaming service, or internet radio. Audio broadcasts are free of charge. And finally in sports this afternoon, Morehead State baseball is back in action this weekend. The Eagles head to Norfolk, Virginia to take on Norfolk State, despite being swept on its opening series of the year last weekend. First-year head coach Mike Aoki believes his team will bounce back and that they have adjusted really well to having a new coaching staff.
They work hard. They performed tremendously well in the classroom in the fall. They're people who, you know, care about the community and they care about each other, and they're a hardworking, really good group of guys, and I really enjoy being around them. And I think that the transition for our staff has been pretty seamless.
After traveling to Norfolk, the Eagles will return to Moorhead for their first home series of the year against Southern Illinois on February 28th. First pitch between MSU and Norfolk State is Saturday at 4 p.m. and Sunday at noon. And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Ty Martin.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Men's and women's basketball host Belmont tonight. The women's game begins at 5 and the men tip off at 7. Tickets and more information from the Eagle Athletic Office at 783-2089 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks fell, with most of the losses coming in a sudden drop midday when the Dow Industrials, which were down about 200 points, dropped to a session low of 388 points on the negative side. And at the close, a much better action with the Dow Industrials finishing with a loss of 128.05, so well off of earlier lows at 29,219.98. The S&P 500 was down 12.92 at 3373.23, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 66.21 to finish at 9750.96. Some traders pointed to a report from the Chinese state-run Global Times, which said there had been a sharp increase in coronavirus cases at a hospital in Beijing. While the timing of the story did not match with Thursday's move lower, it does tap into the market's fears about the coronavirus weighing on the global economy. Among your big board stocks, or I should say your Dow Jones stocks, Goldman Sachs was down 2%, and Intel was the worst performer in the Dow Industrials, dropping 2.5%. Apple shares were down by about 1%. In local economic or business news, Marathon Petroleum surged 4.5%. This on reports that the company will sell its Speedway Service Station division to the owner of 7-Eleven for $22 billion. In the commodities markets, oil was strong today, despite the stock market's weakness, oil finishing with a gain of almost 1% at $53.77 a barrel. Gold was up 0.7% at $1,622.80 an ounce. In Europe, stocks were weak, with the Stock 600 index dropping 0.7%. Asia had a pretty good day, with the Nikkei up 0.3%, and the Shanghai Composite up 1.78%. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was U.S. Bancorp up 7 cents at 54.82, Lowe's up 308 at 126.52, Delta Airlines down 15 cents at 58.36, Marathon Petroleum up 257 at 60.26, and Yum Brands was down $1.31 to finish at 103.88. Reporting from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
Support for MSPR comes from the Mountain Arts Center, presenting the Tedeschi Trucks Band in concert 7:30 p.m. on Tuesday, February 25th. Award-winning vocalist Susan Tedeschi and husband Derek Trucks, a 15-year veteran of the Allman Brothers Band. Grammy Award winners, the Tedeschi Trucks Band, on tour supporting their latest release, Signs. The Tedeschi Trucks Band at the Mountain Arts Center, 7:30 p.m. on Tuesday, February 25th. Tickets and information online at macarts.com. Taking another quick look at your region's weather for tonight, mostly cloudy skies, a low around 17. Tomorrow, sunny skies, a high near 37. Friday night, clear with a low around 17. Saturday, sunny with a high near 50. Saturday night, clear, a low around 23. On Sunday, sunny with a high near 54. Sunday night, rain likely, mainly after 4 a.m., otherwise mostly cloudy skies with a low around 36. Chance of precipitation on Sunday night is 60%. Taking a look at some events coming up around the region, Four Paws for Ability and Morehead State University's Service Dog Program will visit Coffee Tree Books on Main Street in Morehead from noon to 2 p.m. on Saturday, February 22nd. Early readers can practice their skills and the service dogs can practice listening. The event is free and open to the community.
The Morehead Theater Guild will hold auditions at the Rowan County Arts Center for its spring production of Motherhood Out Loud. Auditions will be held on Monday, February 24th at 7:30 p.m. and Tuesday, February 25th at 6 p.m. For more information, contact Diana Reeder at 784-5669.
The MSU Concert Choir is hosting a chili dinner and concert on Thursday, February 27th at the First Baptist Church in Morehead. Dinner begins at 5:30 p.m. and the concert is at 7:30 p.m. Tickets are $10 for adults and $8 for students. Proceeds support tours by the MSU Concert Choir and chamber singers. And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Rachel Turner, Nacogdoches Miller, Cody Robinson, Jonathan Burton, Wyatt Melton, Keneally Roberts, Sarah Fashipe, and Ty Martin. WUKY's Josh James, KNN's Haley Hansen, KNN's Paul Miles, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Michael Green. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY, Morehead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.com. MSPR.org. For Lori Likens and all of the MSPR news team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.